Have your Bibles with you this morning. I'd like for you to turn with me to the book of Luke, Gospel of Luke, according to Dr. Luke. God's good. And all the time, God is good. He's good. He's good. He's good. So good to have you with us. I know you're going to be blessed of the Lord this morning. I'm excited about the word. Luke, the 12th chapter. I'm going to read a couple of verses. I like to say this is going to be my little jumping off place for you this morning. How many of you are ready to jump up and jump off for God? Luke 12, 49 and 50. Very familiar passage of Scripture. Jesus speaking. He said, I've come to send fire on the earth. And how I wish it were already kindled. But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how distressed I am till it is accomplished. Father, we just love you so much, and we want to thank you for just the opportunity to stand before this sacred desk and declare your word. You're a great God, and you deserve all honor and glory. And Father, we just thank you that this morning we can come before you knowing it's all about you and not about us. And we just want to praise you for the people, the open hearts, the open minds that you've given us to just minister your precious word. And we give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus said, I've come to send fire on the earth. I've come. In other words, here we're seeing that he did not send a representative. He came himself. When God comes himself, when God comes himself to the earth, something new is about to happen. Something new is going to be established. And I found that in my studies that when God appears, he establishes these things. He establishes them. I've heard people say, oh, you know, I would like to see a move of God. I'd like for God to just come down right in our midst. I'd like to see the power of God and God himself just show up for us. And I begin to ask myself, do you really? Do you really? Think about it. Are you ready for a big change in your life? Are you ready for some new things to be established in your life? Are you willing to give up some old things? Are you really ready for God to just come down right in our midst and establish something new for you this morning? You know, when we begin to say things like, I just wish God had come down right in the middle of my situation, right in the middle of my house, right in the middle of my troubles, are you really sure you really want God to come down? Because he may require you to do something you don't want to do. He may require you to accept some things you really don't want to accept. He may require something out of you you really don't want to give up. So I found that when God appears himself, he begins to establish things. When he appeared to Abraham, he established his people. And when he appeared to Moses, he established the law. And then he appeared to Elijah, he established his presence. And when he appeared to Isaiah, he established his glory. Isaiah said, I saw the Lord. He was high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. When God came himself, it was to establish something new. And when Jesus came to the earth, it was to establish a new covenant. How many of you know that we're living under a new covenant? We're not under an old covenant. We're not under the old covenant. If there was nothing wrong with the old covenant, there would be no need for a new covenant, the word's there. So we're under a new covenant. We're under a covenant that the world has never seen before, never experienced before. It has never been established before, but we're under a new covenant. And I was sharing in our Shabbat service on Friday night, I'm so glad that we're under the new covenant. Because when I begin to read about the old covenant, if we were still living under the old covenant, some of us wouldn't even be here today. Amen. God just got rid of us a long time ago. Amen. I mean, we're under a new covenant. We're under a covenant of grace. We're under a covenant of mercy. And every time we mess up and we hate it and we just deplore that we even thought or did such a thing, our loving God has his hand out saying, I know you did it, but I love you anyway. And I'm just going to pick you up and I'm going to brush you off and I'm going to usher you right into my presence. And you and I are going to sit down and I'll eat with you and you'll eat with me. And we'll have relationship and fellowship together. See, we're talking about a new covenant. We're talking about new things being established, and God is establishing those new things. Watch this. Most of the time in the Bible, God sent a representative. Most of the time, he sent a representative. Now, that didn't mean that it was not important. It simply established a precedence for his appearing. Listen, if it wasn't for his appearing, you and I would have nothing to live for. I'm looking for a coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I keep saying over and over and over, we may be the generation that sees the coming of the Lord. And I've said many times how that we in the church, we're not anymore teaching and preaching the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is coming again, and we're living in the world today like he is not coming. Look at the situation that the world is in today, and you'll see people are not living like Jesus Christ is coming again. We're allowing things into our lives that even teaches us that he's not even God, and he's not even living anymore. We have other religions come in and infiltrate our thought patterns, and it's time that you and I realize that God's word is forever true. It's steadfast. It's sufficient, and it's going to happen. And one of these days, he's going to appear again, and he's going to cry, "Come up hither," and the church is going to be lifted up, and we who are alive and remain is going to join them in the air. See, we got to recognize we're operating in a world that is not looking for the covenant of God. We're operating in a world that is looking for convenience. We're not looking for covenant relationship. We're looking for convenience relationships. I can have a relationship with you if it's convenient for me. Oh, come on. It's all about convenience. I'd like to spend more time with you, but it's just really not convenient. Of course, you would never say that. Amen. You would never say and admit that was it, but we're so convenience-driven. Everything is about convenience. We can come to church if it's convenient. We can worship if it's convenient. We can spend a little extra time in our closet worshiping God and loving the Lord if it's convenient to us, if we don't have something else to do, if we've not already obligated ourselves in another area. I believe that we should get up in the morning and begin to obligate ourselves in the way of the Lord first and make all of these other things wrap around what God has called us to. Somebody say amen with me. We got to realize that God most of the time sent a representative because it was to establish a precedence of his appearing. He wanted us to know that when he appeared, he wanted them to know and wants us to know that when he appears, pay attention. Yeah. Kind of like people say, if it's written twice, read it again. Even when he delivered the children from Israel, from Egypt, he sent an angel to speak to Moses out of the burning bush. And then he sent Moses as his representative. He didn't go himself. Even though he was in the cloud, he didn't go himself. Even in the book of the Revelation, the word of the Lord was given to John by an angel. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ is given to John by an angel. But in Revelation 19, the Bible says, John saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. He was clothed with a robe, dipped in blood, and his name was the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him. And out of his mouth was a two-edged sword, and on his robe and on his thigh was a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The course of history was about to change, and the beast was and his armies were about to be defeated, and Satan was about to be bound for 1,000 years. I believe that you and I need to look for the day that Jesus Christ comes and delivers his church and calls us into the spirit of victory, that the enemy of our soul is defeated and God is undoubtedly the ruler of the whole earth. Psalms 18, David was calling upon God to come to his aid. And the Bible says, and God came thundering out of the heavens with smoke coming out of his nostrils and fire coming out of his mouth. People say, well, God doesn't operate that way today. Listen, he operated that way in the Old Testament. He operated that way in the New Testament. And God is a God that never changed. And I believe that if he operated that way in the past, he'll operate that way today, and he'll operate that way in the future. I believe that God is eagerly awaiting his people to call upon his name, trust in him, believe in him, and call on him to bring him the glory that we deserve through him. He did it in the Old Testament, and he'll do it again. When God comes down. You know, we're not talking about God sending a representative or an angel or even a captain. We're talking about God coming himself. God coming himself. I believe that there's someone or some more than one, but many people in this building this morning that need God to just come down on your behalf. You need God to come down on your behalf this morning and change the course of history for you. When you stepped into this building this morning, for some reason, you were going in one direction and God was trying to lead you, but you were going off course and the enemy was beginning to take over your life. But God is wanting you to recognize the fact that he will come down into your life, and if you're willing, he will change the course of history for you this morning. The way you came here, you will not leave in Jesus' name. The way you came here, God wants to send you out differently and give you the victory. Someone in this building this morning needs for God to establish something new in your life. Listen, if you're tired of living the same old way, receiving the same old things, you don't have to do that any longer. God says, believe in me, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I believe that God is speaking to us this morning that if we have problems and needs and cares and concerns, that all we have to do is cast them upon him, and he will bring us through this thing. He said, Jesus said, I am come to send fire on the earth. Now, you know, listen, I've come. I'm come. Jesus said, I've come to send fire on the earth. You know, we begin to think about and pray about and study what was the mission of Jesus on this earth. What was his mission? Why did he come? There had to be a reason. God doesn't select the best thing he has in heaven, which is himself, incarnate him into man, send him to the earth to teach and then to be brutally beaten and murdered. He doesn't do that unless there is a purpose, unless there is a reason. What is his mission? What is God's mission on earth? When we try to make the mission of God something that it's really not, we just confuse our hearts and our minds. A lot of people believe that and try to make his mission something other than what it really is. They try to make his mission the mission of the Holy Spirit. Jesus' mission and the Holy Spirit's mission are two totally different missions. We try to make John's mission the same as Jesus. No, it is not the same as Jesus' mission. Jesus' mission, he came to this earth to seek out and to save them that are lost. That's his mission. That's the reason he gave his life, was to be able to seek out, by the drawing of the Holy Spirit, them that are lost and save them by his precious atoning blood. He came to seek out and save them that were lost. That was his mission and nothing else. Now, all of these other things that we've learned and these things that we have in the church are not his mission. All of these things that we have is to make his mission happen. We got to recognize that we have all of these things in order to make his mission. He came to seek and save them that was lost. We love to preach about the church with power. We love to preach about the anointing and the baptism of the Holy Spirit and how that God uses that. And I think it's powerful and we need it. But I tell you, power should be second nature to the church. Power shouldn't be something we have to seek after and plead for and try to get into the Spirit deeper and mystically than we've ever been before. Power should be second nature to us. We should not even be preaching about a church with power. We should be preaching about a church with presence. We need to have presence in the world. Come on, church, you're not with me this morning. We need to have presence in the world. We need to be present to the world. We need to be present to a dying world. We need to be present to the Muslims. We need to be present to those that don't believe. We need to be present. We need to show a new presence. And when we begin to show a presence to the world that Jesus Christ is truly the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, then the power will show forth and God will make himself known to the world. I don't know about you, but we got to have a presence in this community. We got to have a presence in this city. We got to have a presence in this region. And if we'll do that, we'll have a presence in the world. And the only way that we're going to be able to do that is to quit being church-minded and become kingdom-minded. It's bigger than you. Look at somebody and say, it's bigger than you. I know you don't think it is, but it really is. It's bigger than you. It's bigger than you. You'll never be as big as God. You'll never do all that Jesus Christ got. You cannot do what the Holy Spirit. It'll take a lifetime for you to do what the Holy Spirit can do in 1 second. A church with presence. We need to be a church with presence. How many of you know that power is not a demonstration? The power of God is not by demonstration. The presence of the Spirit is a demonstration. Demonstration is the result of power. Power is a declaration about the church with presence. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2:4, my words and preaching are not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. You demonstrate by the presence of the Holy Spirit. You demonstrate by the presence of the Holy, by what you confess and what the Spirit declares through you. When the Holy Spirit begins to move in your life, then God begins to speak and operate through you. That's when you say one thing and two or three people get something totally different out of it, and it ministers to each of them wherever they are in their lives. That's the power of God. That is the demonstration of the Holy Spirit. Watch this. He said, I come to send fire on the earth. I come to send fire on. Say send. Now, I took the opportunity to go ahead and look up this word from the Greek for you. And our English is a little too mild for this word compared to the Greek. For from the Greek, it literally means to hurl. I come to hurl fire upon the earth. I come to hurl fire. He did not intend to send a little spark here and a little spark there, but he came to fire, to hurl a fire of revival, to set ablaze the kingdom of God. Not just a church, but the kingdom of God. Oh, we're always wanting to do our part, and we should do our part. But our part is just what else the kingdom of God is doing. God always operates corporately. He deals with us individually, but he operates corporately. Come on, watch this. We got to recognize that when we speak of God operating in the church, we're talking kingdom. We're not talking go-to church, and this is, to me, the greatest church in the whole world, but it's just a part of the kingdom of God. And so when God begins to deal with the whole, begins to operate in the whole church, he's operating in the kingdom of God. He's not operating in just one church. I believe that when God has a word for go-to, that word is good all over the world. That word's good everywhere. If it's the word of God, it's a corporate word. And it will work in any church. It'll work anywhere. Listen, I could go to the First Baptist Church in Jacksonville and preach. I'd probably have to clean it up a little bit. Or a lot. But I tell you what I could do. I could do that because the word of God is the word of God. And the presence of God is the presence of God. And if the word of God goes forth, then the presence of God is going to bring people together corporately. Wow. He said, I come to hurl this thing. It's about the kingdom of God. Listen, A lot of times the power in the church is like a little spark here and a little spark there, and we just kind of get a hold of it, and when we feel a little what we used to call in the old church those Holy Ghost doodads, and we feel the presence of God all over us, and we feel like that we've really done something for God. But a lot of times the power in the church is not just a little spark. We ought to recognize that God's not looking for a little spark here and there. You know what? We don't see the hurling of the power of God in the church today because we've not allowed that hurling to become a part of our lives. You can't let the hour and a half you spend in this building or that building or any building that you come to worship God, you cannot let that discern what your relationship with God is. We got to have a hurling of God. We got to have a fire set upon us on the inside that only God can give us, and the world can't give it to us at all. I'd like to see a hurling of fire in the church today. I don't know. Maybe I'm still old-fashioned. I can't help that. But I want to see some real fire. I want to see. I've seen enough of strange fire. I've seen all that stuff. I want to see some real fire in the church today. One that'll get you up out of your seat. One that'll place you in the presence of God. One that'll send you out and minister to someone. One that'll make you go to the homeless. One that'll make you go to the outsider. One that'll make you go to the homosexual. One that'll make you go here and go there that you wouldn't ordinarily go, and believe God for deliverance and believe God for victory in their life. I believe that we forget that the most important thing that we can ever bring to the world is a changed life. Amen. The greatest thing we could ever bring to the world is a changed life. If we don't have changed lives, then we're not doing what God's called us to do in the church. We're operating as a church and not as a kingdom. Come on. Because changed lives don't just happen in a building. Changed lives happens on the street corner. Changed lives happens on the ball field. Changed lives happens in the stadium. Changed lives happen anywhere God can use a mouthpiece to declare the glory of His Son, Jesus Christ. It is God's way of sending us out. We are the evangelists of God, the mouthpiece and the feet and the hands. We are who God sends and declares the victory that He's given us. I want to see some fire, some fire that will make you forget about who you are and where you are. Time would not permit me this morning in this message, but there's so many illustrations in the Word of God that when people forget who they are and where they are, then there comes a traumatic, tremendous, powerful change in their life. Look at blind Bartimaeus. Blind Bartimaeus, sitting by the roadside, he was just begging, doing what he always did. This reminds me a lot of church people. We get up every day doing what we always did, which is nothing for God. You know, we just get up doing stuff that we've always done. That's what Bartimaeus was. But he heard some confusion. He heard something different. He heard somebody talking about who was coming. Well, hey, who is this? What is this? Somebody tell me about this. Oh, Jesus is coming. Gee, oh, my goodness. Bartimaeus said, let me get up there. I got to get to him. His disciples said, oh, come on then, man. Calm down. You can't act like that in front of all these folks. That's not going to give God glory. That's not going to give Jesus. You got to calm down. He said, let me tell you, you've not been blind. I've been blind all my life. I don't care who you are. And if you don't get out of my way, I just pray God to give me enough sight to beat you down where I can get to Him. Are you with me, church? Listen, He didn't care who it was. He didn't care who was around them. He didn't care if the big hoopah of the who or what was there. He really didn't care if the Pope was there. And the Pope wasn't even, but He didn't care. Are y'all with me? He wasn't looking for religion. He was looking for God Almighty to come down in his life. He wasn't looking for somebody to make him feel good. He was looking for somebody to make him see good. Yes. Oh, we see that when God comes down, there's going to be some changes. I love what Jesus says. Jesus said, and what will I if it's already kindled? And I wish it was already kindled. Listen, if we could ever recognize the fact that the power and the fire of God was kindled at Calvary's Hill, then you and I can go from salvation to the power of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. Jesus saw the fire starting. He knew it was going to start. He already knew the plan. He knew that God had already written it in the beginning. They had written it from the very beginning. He wrote the end when he wrote the beginning. It was written. Oh, I don't think we've quite gathered the significance of it already being written. When you're facing something that you've never faced before, when you're facing things that you've faced many times before, it really doesn't matter, but you've got to muster up the spiritual courage to tell the enemy of your soul that it's already written and the end has already been made. And the decision is not for him to make, but my God Almighty has already made the decision, and I'm going to live it out. Look at somebody and say, I'm going to beat this thing. I'm going to overcome this thing. That devil's not going to get me. I'm going to overcome this thing. I know that God's going to bring me through it. He's promised it to me in his word. There's no place in my life for defeat. But the power of God has infiltrated my thoughts, and nothing negative is going to come out of my mouth, because my God is sufficient to supply all of my needs according to his riches in glory. How many of you know that a lot of us don't know it, but we're still just human. That's no excuse. That's just fact. We're still just human. We're still human. And humanity, we've got to have a starting place. Let me see if I can very quickly, share with you what's on my heart. It's easy for me to look at eternity forward because it hasn't happened yet. Are y'all there with me so far? I don't have a problem with that. But if I try to envision eternity backwards, I have a problem. Because my humanity tells me there must be a starting place. Everything we teach, everything we believe, comes with a starting place. Your new life had a starting place. I mean, I could go all through all this, but I look back. I have a problem because back I've already lived. And before me, someone else lived. And before them, someone else lived. So I have a problem with eternity in the rear. I'm okay in the front, but I have a problem back. But God always has been. Right. Amen. I know you can't figure that out, and I can't either. I don't even like to mess with my mind that much. I come up with all kind of crazy stuff. Yes. But he always has been. God's not limited by time. Why? Because he is time. Amen. Well, then why did he create time? You got it. He created it. An evening and a morning, one day. That's time. Are y'all there? This way for you. All right, so we try to figure this thing out, and you're probably like me. I don't have a problem with going forward with eternity, but I have a problem going in backwards with eternity. You know, we got to recognize that we've got to move forward and not worry about the back, about the arrears. We don't need to worry about that. We got to look ahead of us. What's this? We can't go back to our starting place. We got to get off of the milk. Come on, church. And we need to get on the meat. There has to be a starting place with us, but not with God. But if we look at our starting place, that means we cannot stay there because that is where the children play. Paul said that you got to grow up. You got to grow up into him. Paul said that you cannot return again. You got to start moving forward. The Hebrew writer wrote in the 5th chapter, verses 12 through 14, that we have to move off the milk and get on the meat of the word so we can mature and be strengthened in God. The fire that Jesus hurled into the earth was a fire of power, but most important was a fire of responsibility. We like to talk about the power and enjoy the effects of the power. But the power also comes with responsibility. Winston Churchill said, the price of greatness is responsibility. The price of greatness is responsibility. If you intend to operate in the greatness of the power of God, then you're going to have to take on the responsibility of his fire. You got to be responsible for it. The willingness to accept the responsibility is a sign of maturity. Just because a church has a lot of people in it doesn't mean it's a mature church. There's a lot of ignorant people in the world. And just because you have a lot of people in the church doesn't mean that you are immature. It is when you take on the responsibility of that power that it becomes mature. You cannot stay where you are and expect God to move you forward. You can't fight God all the way to the victory. Jesus said, I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how distressed I am until it's accomplished. John 1, 22 and 23, when they asked John the Baptist, who are you? I love this. I love his response. Who are you? And he said, I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Watch this. He didn't say, I'm the one crying in the wilderness. He said, I'm just putting voice to the one crying in the wilderness. The one in the wilderness is the one that's got the word. I'm just putting voice to his word. Somebody say amen to that. Are y'all there this way? For yes, I got to know you with me. Look, we got so many people thinking we're coming up with something new. There's nothing new under the sun. Listen, we got to recognize that John was not the voice. I mean, was not the one crying in the wilderness. He was just putting voice to the one crying in the wilderness. You know who was in the wilderness? Come on, tell me. Jesus was in the wilderness. You know, they're being tempted of the devil. Listen, we got to recognize that we're not the one crying. We are just the voice of one crying. Matthew 3:11 says that John proclaimed, I baptize you with water, but there cometh one after me that will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. That's when God comes into your life. Listen, when God comes into your life, you've got all you'll ever need to be victorious of the devil. Are y'all with me? When God comes into your life, you don't need nothing else. Amen. Oh, we don't want to stay there. It would not do the church any good. It would not do God any good if we just stayed there. But we got to recognize that the fire has already been hurled. John could not hurl the fire. He just prepared the way. You and I cannot hurl the fire. We just got to keep it burning. God has given us the ability and the responsibility to do that. The fire that Jesus hurled was a fire that consumed believers with a burning passion to spread the gospel, the good news. What's this? Jeremiah 29. Jeremiah was very discouraged. As a matter of fact, he was just never preach again. He was never going to prophesy again. He was done with all of that stuff. And he said, his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I could not hold it back. You know what, church? We need some folks on fire this morning. We need some folks that cannot keep it in. We need some folks that their bones is burning within themselves, not to build a church, but to build a kingdom for the living God of the whole earth. We need somebody that's willing to step up and be accounted for and say, I'm not going to stay where I was. I'm going to go forward, and God is going to direct me. And what God has put into me is sufficient, and I cannot keep it in. I got to share it with somebody. High five somebody and say, I want to share what God's given me. And in conclusion, there's never been a fire like the fire that Jesus hurled. Never been a fire like that. It spread so quickly, it did so much, and it's lasted for so long. We've never seen a fire like that. When we talk about fire, we got to remember there's a lot of fires in God's Word. Remember the burning bush? God was in it, but it served its purpose. We got to remember the pillar of fire. God was in it. It kept the children in the wilderness. God was in it, but it served its purpose. We have to remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. God was in it, but it served its purpose. We got to remember Elijah on Mount Carmel. He called fire down from heaven. God was in it, but it served its purpose. All of these fires went out, but the fire that Jesus hurled is still burning today. The fire that Jesus hurled is burning today. It's burning in the hearts of men and in the hearts of women that they cannot keep it within. They got to get out and they got to spread it around this nation and around this world. And it's filled with a passion that it's going to spread the love of God wherever we go. Stand up with me all over the building. Now watch this. My last little verse for you. Acts 1, 10, 11. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into the heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you will come again in like manner." All right, watch this. God did not hurl that fire for nothing. God did not hurl that fire for nothing. He hurled that fire for you and I. Are y'all there with me? In that fire that Jesus hurled on this earth is healing, deliverance, salvation, forgiveness. It will take care of any circumstance or any situation that the enemy is bringing against you. Every power of hell that has attacked you, the answer to it is in that fire. The thing that would love to destroy your marriage, destroy your relationship, destroy your victory, destroy those things that God's given you, in that fire is the answer. And Jesus Christ hurled that fire for you and for me. I want to ask you, as every head's bowed and every eye's closed this morning, is there any of you that would say with me, Pastor, I need God to come into my life this morning. I need to feel that fire. I'm facing things that I just don't even know what to do. And I need for God to come and that fire to bring me an answer and to take me by the hand and lead me out of my circumstance and lead me out of my situation. If you would do, I'm going to invite you and our leaders to come forward to pray with you. But if you have a need and you believe God is sending that fire for you, I want you to just step out right now. You're facing things that you've never faced. And God says, come unto me. Everybody, if you're burdened or if you're heavy, I'll give you peace. I'll give you rest. Come and eat without money and without price. Come. Listen, you don't have to live like this. You don't have to live in this circumstance or in this situation. Come and be touched by the fire of the living God of the whole earth. As they begin to sing and play, I believe that God is going to minister to every one of you. So I ask you if you would. see and feel the power and the presence of God and need for Him to offer.